From a quarantined studio brought to you by KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. More than 100 Amazon workers in the New York City Staten Island warehouse this week planned a walkout over dangerous working conditions. And at least one Amazon employee at a warehouse in the Seattle, Washington area has found to be infected with the coronavirus. The company that had already been under fire for years before over low pay, poor working conditions and health benefits is now overseeing a workforce under even greater pressure as more and more Americans turn to delivery of retail goods during a time of quarantine. We turn now to Matthew Smith, who is a cargo handler at the Amazon warehouse in Kent in the state of Washington. Welcome to the program, Matthew.
Hi, Sonali. Thank you.
So how concerned are workers like yourself during this pandemic? I imagine your workload has increased, but because of the virus, so has the danger, right?
Right. People are afraid, people are anxious, and people are frustrated and angry at the lack of response from management, the lack of response from both Amazon and its contractors, the failure to give us basic equipment, basic health supplies like hand sanitizer. We're driving our trucks every day into hundreds, thousands of residences, apartments, businesses all across Washington and all across the country. And there's a huge risk for us going and doing that work in the context of this pandemic. So yeah, people are understandably afraid for themselves, for their families. And that's why you're seeing workers like those out in New York who announced a strike and went on strike to protest the lack of health precautions at their own warehouse. You're seeing Instacart workers going on a nationwide strike to do the same thing. And so workers all over the country are angry, they're organizing and demanding that these companies start putting public health before profit.
And these are industries that, unlike most other industries during this pandemic, have seen their profits go up. Huge amount of inventory being bought and shipped out, whether it's the grocery business or just the retail goods business. And Amazon, of course, isn't in the business of both because it has not only its normal retail goods selling and delivery, but also Amazon Fresh. And now it, of course, owns Whole Foods, which is doing grocery and delivery as well. So these are the companies. If any company is really doing well financially during this pandemic, I imagine it's Amazon.
Right, absolutely. Amazon has seen huge surges in demand for regular household items. And they've been planning for this for weeks, actually. So back in February, early February, they built up a huge stockpile in their warehouse because they saw the threat of this virus coming. They understood that there would be huge demand for these items. So they stockpiled in order to boost their profits, in order to take advantage of this crisis as a company. But what they haven't done is do the same kind of thing in protecting their workers. So they haven't taken, really a whole lot of precautions at all to protect their workers. But absolutely, we should continue to be delivering those basic things like food, basic things that people need, essential items. And these delivery services play a huge role in doing that. But what shouldn't be happening is putting profit above public health in this crisis.
Now, during this period, the state of Washington and the Seattle area in particular was the earliest hit with the pandemic. When the coronavirus first emerged in the U.S., the area around the state of Washington became a hotspot right away. And in fact, it is an area that has been ahead of the rest of the country by a few weeks. Within all of this, I am surprised that it's just been, I understand, one or two employees that have been found to have been infected with COVID-19. I'm speculating that the real number might be higher.
Well, this is part of the problem with this whole pandemic and the response to it that's been happening in the United States, is there's a huge lack of testing. And this is part of the problem with Amazon's policy around paid sick leave. One of the things that we've been calling for, that the workers out in New York have been calling for, is an expansion of paid sick leave. Right now, Amazon only gives paid sick leave to people who have tested positive for coronavirus. The problem is that you can be experiencing symptoms and you go to the doctor, they tell you the tests aren't available. I know people personally that, you know, are unsure whether they have it, and they're told that they can't receive a test because their symptoms aren't bad enough. So yeah, the number absolutely, I think, is likely higher. Right now, we've seen people test positive at 17 warehouses across the country at Amazon. I think absolutely this crisis is bigger than what we're seeing in the pure numbers, and we need to start reacting accordingly.
What has the change been like for you over the past few weeks at the warehouse that you work? Is there not just increased traffic of goods being, you know, processed and delivered, but I imagine as a result, just a bigger number of workers? Has the workforce increased in a space that hasn't increased?
Yeah, so we had a small number of people hired, kind of a hiring surge, right? A few weeks ago, we hired a number of new drivers. We work at a smaller delivery station that's delivering oversized packages. Our volume has gone up a little bit. It's been variable because of different supply chain issues and again, the huge demand, things are getting backed up. But I think where you've seen the bigger surges is at the huge warehouses, right? The ones that are employing 1,500 people or 1,000 people, you know, those types of places are seeing a big increase. People who are delivering the small packages are seeing a big increase. As this crisis is getting worse, we're also seeing, you know, more people that are starting to work at these warehouses. And so it's even more urgent that we do things like social distancing. We make sure that workers in the community can have a say in what is actually essential. In Washington, we have a stay-at-home order that's been put in place where the state is telling all non-essential business to close down. We need to decide what is essential and what's not. We need to send non-essential workers home, and anybody who is essential, both, you know, delivery drivers, grocery workers, healthcare workers, need to be given hazard pay as well for that essential work that they're doing.
Right, hazard pay is absolutely critical. Not something that we're seeing being raised by politicians who seem quite eager to bail out corporations and put in few protections for workers. What are some of the things that Amazon's managers have been saying to workers since this pandemic? Are they giving workers the information and equipment needed to stay safe? Are they enforcing social distancing in the workplace? Are they ensuring that workers have enough time to even just go wash their hands or have the masks and gloves needed?
No, so this is the really striking thing about this is not what Amazon is saying, but what they're not saying. Mm. They're not communicating with their employees, with their contractors. As a contractor, I haven't received a single email from Amazon. I haven't received any sort of communication from Amazon management. We weren't even told directly about this positive case in the warehouse down the street from us. We have received no information. Most of us heard about it either from the media reports or from coworkers texting and calling each other, letting each other know. But Amazon management has absolutely been negligent in communicating these things to their workers. And now that there's a positive case, they're scrambling to start doing some of these things that they should have done weeks ago, like social distancing and making sure that the warehouses are safe to operate in.
So they prepped for this crisis by ensuring they had stockpiled the goods that they wanted to sell, but not ensuring the safety of their workers.
Exactly. They have not provided hand sanitizer. They've not provided paid sick leave. They've not provided any of these basic things. For a very long time, they weren't doing social distancing. They weren't taking basic preparations. And I'm a socialist. I mean, I think that workers and the community should take these huge corporations into democratic public ownership and decide these things democratically. I mean, that's the only way that we can actually make sure that workers' health, community health is prioritized, make sure that in the context of this crisis, they're just taking basic steps to protect us, to make sure that we're not spreading this virus.
At the very least, the government, I imagine, ought to step in and force these corporations that are the ones that are doing financially well in the pandemic to share a big chunk of those profits with workers through hazard pay and the protection that they require. I mean, sure, one can maybe understand the need to, you know, bail out some other industries that we're told by politicians wouldn't exist if they didn't get tax dollars. But then, like Amazon, there are some industries that are thriving as a result of the pandemic, are seeing increased profits, but no one wants to talk about what those profits could be used for. And this is, of course, a company that we're talking about whose founder and CEO is the world's richest man, right, Matthew? Literally, Jeff Bezos could lose, you know, a few billion dollars in pocket change and not even notice it.
Right. Amazon is a trillion-dollar corporation. It's owned by the richest guy in the world, like you said. And they are not doing nearly enough, not just to take care of their workers, but in terms of giving back to the community, just paying their fair share in taxes. So I know in Seattle, we have a huge problem with affordable housing. This is happening all across the country as well. Workers who deliver these packages, who work in these warehouses, can't afford rent. And that's become even more of a dire situation in the context of this crisis, where you're seeing huge layoffs, you're seeing workers that are furloughed, that are wondering how they're going to pay rent in a couple days in April when it becomes due. And so what we need is huge intervention, making sure that the rich are paying for this crisis and it's not being pushed onto the back of working people, which is what happens crisis after crisis after crisis. Working people end up paying for it. What we've been calling for in Seattle, Socialist Council Member Shama Sawant has introduced a piece of legislation that would have a $500 million tax on Amazon and big business, on the richest corporations here, to fund direct relief to working people for coronavirus relief. And we're pairing that with a ballot initiative that if Seattle Council doesn't act, we need to take this directly to voters and make sure that we're saying loud and clear that big business needs to pay for this crisis. We need coronavirus relief, COVID-19 relief. We also need affordable housing and things just to help working people survive, because we're the ones that do the work. We're the ones that make these communities run. And we need to make sure that big business is paying its fair share.
And in a few minutes, we'll speak with Council Member Sawant. But first, I want to ask you one last question, which is, are there any plans like the warehouse in Staten Island, New York? Are there any plans that you know of among warehouse workers or other Amazon workers in the Seattle area, which is where the company is headquartered, to have a similar kinds of actions, a one-day strike or any kind of a labor action?
Yeah, so first of all, we have been talking about the strike in New York. My coworkers, other workers at Amazon have seen that. And, you know, we are absolutely in solidarity with those workers who are, you know, doing the right thing and making sure that Amazon is taking those precautions at their warehouse. So, you know, we stand in solidarity with them. But we're organizing all across the country. Amazon workers are there's been a huge surge in discussions about what we should do to respond to this. And the main problem now is organization, right? I mean, we're in a country and we exist in an economy where, you know, unresponsive bosses and billionaires have all the power in our workplaces. Workers have very little that we can do through the normal corporate procedures to actually influence what happens at the workplace in terms of even just basic safety precautions. And a lot of workers are understandably afraid of speaking out. You know, my coworkers at Amazon have been increasingly raising these alarms for weeks, but often they have to do so anonymously because they're afraid of retaliation. And so the big obstacle right now is just making sure that workers are communicating with each other, getting organized into groups to, you know, start organizing towards those kinds of actions like the New York workers have been able to take.
Well, Matthew, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Matthew Smith is a cargo handler with Amazon, speaking to us about the situation facing Amazon workers under the pandemic. We turn next to Shama Sawant, who's a member of Seattle City Council with the Socialist Alternative Party, who's been calling for a tax on Amazon for years. Welcome to the program, Shama.
Thank you for having me, Sonali.
So tell me exactly what it is that you are introducing at the city council level in Seattle. You have been for years calling for a head tax on Amazon. It was a hard-fought measure that was then reversed. But here Amazon is reaping the benefits of the pandemic with record profits, but not exactly doing much for workers.
Absolutely, Sonali. I think, as you were alluding to, not just in Seattle or in the United States, but globally, it is becoming clear to people, you know, the pandemic has really exposed the fundamental nature of the capitalist system, which is a global system, which is that even in such an emergency situation, big businesses, the big banks, the billionaire class are so focused on their profits that even in this situation, they will not make any moves towards addressing the fact that the brunt of this crisis once again falls on ordinary people. So what ordinary people are going to face, working people, struggling small businesses, all the marginalized billions of people in this world, we are not only facing the COVID-19 virus, we are also facing capitalism. And so fundamentally the problem is that system itself. And Amazon is a very good example of how, even before this pandemic started, they were deeply exploiting their workforce. And in the city of Seattle, they have a corporate tax haven, which means we have massive inequality and a housing affordability crisis. And then now in this pandemic, as you said, they are reaping more and more profits. And so the legislation that I've brought forward from my office to tax big businesses like Amazon is even more urgent now that we are in the coronavirus situation. And what I'm proposing is that the city council pass this legislation to raise $500 million by taxing big businesses like Amazon. First of all, this year, to immediately make available coronavirus relief and assistance to households that are facing the brunt of this crisis. For example, the workers that have been laid off, the gig economy workers, like rideshare drivers that have no income. And then starting next year, that it go back to social housing and the Green New Deal.
So what sort of support do you have on the city council for this measure? I know that you do have some colleagues on that body that have shown their solidarity to these issues, but there's a lot that have opposed it and that have often sided with companies like Amazon.
Yes, that's a very important question. You know, it's referring to the strategy to win this legislation as a concrete victory. And yes, there is another Councilmember Morales, who has agreed to co-sponsor this legislation with me, which shows the strength of the movement. But I think you're absolutely on the mark, Sonali, when you reminded us that just 2 years ago, the city council, some of whom were there and some of whom were not there, you know, the current council, but the city council at that time, you know, it was a hard-fought victory that we had won, and less than a month later, they had repealed it in the context of having backroom discussions with other corporate politicians and big business lobbyists, including Amazon lobbyists. So there is no way in any rationality that our movement can just trust the city council to do the right thing. That sort of thing doesn't happen. It has to be a victory that is won by movements who are energized by this. And I would say for everybody who's watching, absolutely follow the scientists' recommended guidelines of social distancing. But that does not mean we stop organizing. Absolutely, we have to have social media, online, phone organizing, because that is what is going to result in victories. And I'll just say, at a moment where people might be feeling demoralized, actually, we should be feeling empowered, because look at some of the workers who are on the front lines of strike actions. Instacart shoppers who are workers with no protections, they are misclassified as contractors. They have started a courageous strike action. We saw sanitation workers in Pittsburgh go on strike last week. That's why this legislation has to be empowered by a worker struggle in Seattle in the context of social distancing. That is the only way we can win. You know, the city council is 8 council members who are from the Democratic Party establishment and 1 socialist, that's me. There's no Republicans opposing this, but it also exposes the nature of the Democratic establishment and how tied they are to big business as much as the Republicans.
Right. These are big corporations that are already, you know, seeing politicians lining up at the federal level to help them out, sometimes even when they don't ask for help. But we've seen very little effort to ensure protections for workers in these same bills that are doling out our tax dollars. What are some of the ways in which you would like to see, as a local politician, you would like to see federal action to protect workers? Because piecemeal victories are one thing, but at a time of this crisis, when politicians are, you know, falling over themselves to show that they are taking care of Americans, this is also an opportunity for the federal level to demand change, right?
Absolutely. In fact, you know, the Trump administration's response to the coronavirus crisis has been nothing short of criminal. I mean, you know, because lives have been lost and will be lost because of the a completely unconscionable approach that he has used. You know, his administration has blood on their hands. But it's not just the Trump administration. As you said, the whole of U.S. Congress and the political establishment of both parties is complicit in, as you said, shamefully offering bailouts to these corporations, even when they have not asked. That shows you the revolving door nature between U.S. Congress and the White House and Wall Street and big business. You know, they are one big happy club, and the millions of Americans, hundreds of millions, we are not part of that club, and we get shafted every single time. And that's why the value of winning a tax Amazon legislation at the city level is going to be very important, because it shows a concrete example of how workers can win when they fight back. But you're absolutely correct that if you look at the scale of the crisis, winning at the city level, as hard as it will not be enough. We need federal action. And that's why my organization, Socialist Alternative, and I are strongly supporting the proposal from Senator Bernie Sanders for a $2 trillion bailout for working people, working families, those of us who are actually facing the impact of this crisis, which includes a $2,000 per month assistance for all working households. And I think beyond that, Bernie Sanders has also pointed out the completely bankrupt nature of our privatized for-profit healthcare system, which is now showing its complete limitations, and it's in shambles because we don't have masks, we don't have face shields, we don't have gowns. Healthcare workers are on the front lines, and they're being exposed to this virulent contagion. And on top of that, we don't have staffed hospital beds, there's understaffing. So, you know, it really highlights the need for Medicare for all as well. And I might just say the House and Senate bill that is just passing now has good components in it, primarily thanks to Bernie. And so for all the establishment shills who said Bernie gets nothing done, well, he is the only one who gets things done for us, for working people.
Right. He shamed four Republican senators for an amendment that tried to lower the amount that the lowest wage workers were receiving simply because they might have for a few months received a few hundred dollars more than what they are regularly getting paid. So finally, I'm wondering whether you think that workers themselves are going to be more open to organizing in this moment. In the past, companies like Amazon have pitted workers against one another, and many corporations have cast pro-worker labor actions as being anti-worker, because if corporations are taxed more, they might have to cut jobs, there'll be fewer jobs available. Here's a moment when Amazon is looking to hire. They need workers. They cannot do without workers. Workers do have some leverage, although, of course, there's so many people unemployed. Amazon could certainly try to pick off workers who speak out. But do you hope that workers in this moment would be more emboldened?
I think workers are more emboldened right now for two reasons. One is that the crisis itself is so phenomenally massive that it's forcing people to contend with the immediate crisis on their hands. You know, for example, there's a question of rent strike that has been spreading around the nation for the simple reason that when you have over 3 million people being laid off in just 1 week, that's a massive collapse of the economy. And when people are paying, living paycheck to paycheck, if you don't receive the March paycheck, how will you pay your rent in April? That's why we have also started a petition, which over 6,000 people have signed, demanding that our state governor, Washington State Governor Jay Inslee, immediately institute a suspension in rent and mortgage payment. But there's another reason why workers are emboldened. It's precisely the reason you said, which is that the essential and frontline workers are understanding that even at a time when corporations like Amazon and Instacart are making profits, when lives are being lost at the bottom, you know, because of the virus itself, people are questioning, like, what is this system if even in a pandemic, these billionaires are prioritizing their own greed for profits and wealth while we are putting our lives at risk and many of us are going to end up dying? I mean, you just heard three transit drivers, one in the Seattle area and two in New York, have already lost their lives because they are not being given basic protection like gloves, masks, and face shields to protect themselves. And so people are coming out on the front lines. And even, as I said, even very vulnerable workers in corporations like Amazon and Instacart who are misclassified as contractors, they don't have union protection, but they are out there fighting for their rights and also for the rights of the rest of the community that is being marginalized. And so we absolutely need to keep giving solidarity to all these workers. So solidarity with the workers at Amazon and Instacart. But to your point, Sonali, it's very important to remember that this is not going to be easy. The corporations, big business, the capitalist class, they have shown themselves to be absolutely single-mindedly ruthless in their quest for greed. And they will literally force us to die. I mean, you saw Trump saying we should go back to work at Easter. And you saw the former CEO of Wells Fargo saying, well, yes, we should people should come back to work. Some will live, some will die. I mean, this is an absolutely false choice, and that is a choice of capitalism. That's why we have to reject that entirely. And I'll just make one last point. You know, Trump then was forced to revise his statement and say, okay, people should come back to work at the end of April. You know what's at the end of April? It's May 1st. Let's call for a strike action on May 1st by workers around the nation so that we refuse to accept to die for Wall Street. We are not dying for Wall Street. We need a different kind of society.
Well, you heard it here first, folks, May 1st. Shama Sawant, thank you so much for joining us and for your work. As always, appreciate having you on.
Thank you, and likewise, thank you for your work.
My guest has been Shama Sawant. She's a member of Seattle City Council with the Socialist Alternative Party. We've been discussing Amazon and the coronavirus pandemic. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.